come back. I keep a red ball on my side.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, November 2nd, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. A wild and dystopic ride it is, to be sure. I have been saying that for quite some time now, and it really is. I've mentioned this week Dana Ashley's video in particular that I think everyone should view, and it should be circulated far and wide. Get out into the middle class, information you cannot afford to miss, billions spent to make sure you do, to ensure you do. So we've played clips from it this week. You know, in simple terms, why is it important? Well, to condense my thoughts on the video and its subject matter, we're seeing this initiative to push smart technology into every major metropolitan area and herd people into those metropolitan areas in conjunction with the rewilding initiative. Remember Marie Strong at the 1992 Rio Earth Summit gave his speech, and it was shocking. And Dr. Michael Kaufman and a few others went to Congress and said, this is what certain people largely people who are not American envision for America. And so the plan stalled, and it was sort of pulled apart and piecemealed out into the different states. But that's always been the plan. I mean, Andrew Jackson warned us about that with the issue of central banking in his farewell address in 1837, for example. And there have been similar warnings along the way. So this technology push is a similar coordinated effort to get this smart technology, so-called, into cities and things. We've heard that it's a massive economic boon that's, you know, come from government officials. Could be a multi-trillion dollar market. So it's part financial, it's part surveillance and, you know, Big Brother the all-seeing, all-knowing, hidden hand kind of thing. You know, again, the Total Information Awareness Office meets Francis Bacon and John Dee's society that would see all and be seen by none. It's part that. It's also part transhumanist and posthumanist agenda, because as I mentioned this week, this technology, if Dana Ashley's video, Information You Cannot Afford to Miss, Billions Spent to Ensure You Do, if it does anything, it clearly spells out the fact that this technology is very harmful to our health. And each new iteration, each new generation, now 5G, for example, is more harmful than the last. And we've known about this. This isn't news. It's not breaking news and suddenly, oh my goodness, we didn't know about that. No, this has been known. I mean, it's been known since at least the 50s that the technology that's rolling out now is very harmful to our health. Originally, in the early, mid, late 50s, by the late 50s for sure it was known, but a lot of that was still classified, because that was part of the CIA and partners' research that was classified for quite some time. But we have known publicly since at least the 1970s that this technology, the EMF spectrum radiation, RF spectrum in particular, is very harmful. Microwave radiation is very toxic to our bodies. Our bodies operate largely on electrical signals, and this technology disrupts those signals and also is like a jackhammer on our DNA. It's literally pulverizing our genetic material the more we're around it. You know, we've John in Tennessee mentioned the woodpecker, the Russian woodpecker recently, and that's been obviously in view with the Cuban embassy story, and so that the woodpecker sort of reemerged. Well, this technology is like that, only orders of magnitude worse. So if Dana Ashley did anything in the video, she clearly conveyed the point this technology is harmful to our health. And as I said, in addition to all of those other issues, if this technology is harmful to our health and yet it's being pushed, you know, because smart cities need smart data points for smart cars and autonomous cars and other technology, what does it tell us? When this technology is very harmful to our health and yet it's fine for robots, do you see kind of where the trends are heading? When technocrats think people are messy, you know, Alan Watt has told us for years, these people think people are messy, everything's society's so messy, you know, it's all so messy. We just need to, it needs to be tidied up. It all needs to be in neat, orderly, stackable little blocks with no room for, well, I mean, what do the technocrats say? What was the message of the technocratic movement from its earliest beginnings? How did they put it? And Patrick Wood reminds us whenever the opportunity arises, but you can go to the Wikipedia entry for technocracy movement and see these words: technocrats plan. In a publication from 1938, Technocracy Inc., the main organization, made the following statement in defining their proposal, and nothing has changed since, by the way. This is still their goal. Technocracy is the science of social engineering, which gets back to the issue of socialism. It's frankly authoritarian, as Friedrich Hayek reminds us in Chapter 2, The Great Utopia. Socialism is frankly authoritarian. It has to be so. Technocracy is the science of social engineering. It's not even an art anymore. It's just a science. It has all, you know, there's nothing romantic about it anymore, if you will. The scientific operation of the entire social mechanism, that includes you and I, all of us, to produce and distribute goods and services to the entire population of this continent. For the first time in human history, it will be done as a scientific, technical, engineering problem. The human social problem. There will be no place, here's where it gets interesting, there will be no place for politics or politicians, finance or financiers, rackets or racketeers. Technocracy states that this method of operation, of operating the social mechanism of the North American continent, is now mandatory, because we have passed from a state of actual scarcity into the present status of potential abundance, in which we are now held to an artificial scarcity forced upon us in order to continue a price system which can distribute goods only by means of a medium of exchange. Technocracy states that price and abundance are incompatible. Price and abundance are incompatible. It's time to get rid of Adam Smith's invisible hand. The greater the abundance, the smaller the price. In a real abundance, there can be no price at all, they wrote. Only by abandoning the interfering price control and substituting a scientific method of production and distribution can an abundance be achieved. Gosh, that sounds communist, except for robots are involved. And so you have the corollary concept of Jeremy Rifkin's illustrative book, The Zero Marginal Cost Society, The Internet of Things, not people, The Internet of Things, The Collaborative Commons, and The Eclipse of Capitalism. Right? The corollary, because it's the zero marginal cost society in a world where the first widget maybe costs $1 million to make, and then from then on it's zero marginal cost, because we've created all the technology and infrastructure to make infinite widgets. So now they all cost nothing, zero marginal cost. All of the subsequent widgets cost nothing, or so they say. And so what is the greatest cost in manufacturing and production and distribution? It's always labor. It ends up being labor in this context. So you have to get rid of labor to get to zero marginal cost, right? Enter the UBI, Universal Basic Income, all kinds of other stuff. But the story is more complicated than that, and we'll get to that in a second. So concluding the excerpt from 1938 Technocracy Inc., publication, technocracy will distribute by means of a certificate of distribution available to every citizen from birth to death. you know, again, this gets into the smart meter technology, for example. Oh, you have used up too much of your energy supply, because remember, this new international economic order is to be resource based, according to technocrats. You use too much energy, therefore, you know, the governing of your resources is automated, and the distribution of energy just stopped. Your lights went off. The technate will encompass the entire American continent from Panama to the North Pole, because the natural resources and the natural boundary of this area make it an independent, self-sustaining geographical unit. This is a disturbing, a terribly disturbing concept or prospect. And even, as I've mentioned before, folks like Nobel Prize-winning economist Angus Deaton have been warning. Again, here's a Business Insider article. Nobel economist: I don't think globalization is anywhere near the threat that robots are. And we see that in a funny money system that the world has been gripped by for quite some time now. The Central Bank of England was originally chartered in 1694, I believe, and ever since it's just been hell on earth. As this has been subsuming, this system of funny money has been subsuming the earth, and as what's his name? Carol Quigley wrote in Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, that was the plan, to control people and governments around the world. You install these central banking institutions in countries, and that is a system of hierarchy, and the apex of the system, as he reminded us, is the BIS, the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. It's a way to control countries and people. And so in that sort of a system, people don't realize, for example, you know, just to bring it down to the kinds of problems that creates economically in local communities. If you have a local community, however big or small, when you're running a fiat currency system, a debt-based central banking fiat currency system, you know, this fractional reserve oxymoron that we have. When you do that, when there is more currency, when it's backed by nothing but, you know, public confidence, the full faith and credit of the American people in this case, it's not backed by anything substantive, just a promise to pay later. And you can introduce more currency into the market, it will continue to find equilibrium. This is a subject that has been discussed many times on this network. You know, Keynes' quote, no sure way to debauch an economy or to overturn the existing basis of society than to debauch the currency, those kinds of things. So anyway, you have a small community. If you are constantly introducing more currency, the market will find equilibrium. What does that mean? That means the purchasing power of each unit is eroded over time. What does that mean? Well, for example, in the 50s, the average wage was $3,000 a year, or right around there. What would that buy today? So that everything has to inflate. What does that mean? Well, for example, the point here is in a local community, maybe you raise taxes for something, for infrastructure and public works, for example. Well, the problem is next year, not only does your wage not have the same purchasing power, does not buy as much goods and services as it did last year, but the taxes raised will not cover the public works next year. What do? Do you raise taxes, or do you grab some FEMA cash that comes with strings? What do? And so when you have these issues, it creates economic pressures, the central banking system, in ways people don't realize. Enter technocracy. Hey, we can introduce a zero marginal cost system.
Right. Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme...
This week that we turn stuff off. Did you do that? Have you done that? You know, when you go to bed at night, turn it all off. Turn all of the electrical devices off. In fact, unplug them. You know, unplug the smart TVs, unplug the routers and the modems. Turn it all off. Unplug it. And I'm curious, have you done that? Have folks done that? Have you had the best night's sleep in a long time? Bet you have. And that, to me, is the ultimate test. You know, it's the proof in the pudding, if you will, that technology is harmful and damaging in ways. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. So technocracy, a sinister model for takeover, and its handmaiden is central banking. because, like I said, the system that central banking creates, this funny money system, this fractional reserve oxymoron, creates problems. It invariably creates problems because more currency is introduced, which devalues the existing currency. It diminishes the purchasing power of every unit. We can see that when we go to the grocery store, and if you're old enough to know and remember, you know, coffee, for example, a can of coffee is half the size it was just a few short years ago, and it costs twice as much as that double-sized can. That's what inflation does. Each unit has a diminished purchasing power with the introduction of more currency units into the system. And just as a brief aside on that, during the mortgage boom, the housing boom of the early 2000s, credit skyrocketed because there were loans attached to all of those, all of the housing that was being bought and sold. So credit was skyrocketing, loans were skyrocketing, and all of those loans have interest and debt. Well, according to the SEC, when the dot bomb contagion hit, $25 trillion evaporated in global liquidity, $10 trillion in the U.S. alone. The problem is the loans still existed. And the bigger problem is more loans were created in the wake of that, some $57 trillion by some estimates. Liquidity has been in retraction and decline at the street level, and borrowing has increased. How does that work? And so you have folks like the guys over at Agora Financial, Addison Wiggin, Jim Rickards, Robert Kiyosaki, and the other voices at Agora that have been warning about – they've been warning everyone about the impending credit bubble for quite some time. Addison Wiggin did a little deal back in 2016, and they were all – they've all been talking about it. I mean, Robert Kiyosaki's been saying it. Jim Rickards been saying it. And I always go back to what Rickards said back in 2009 while he was still at Omnis. The warning has been there, and now we see countries jumping ship on the dollar. We'll play a clip in the next segment here. What does all of this mean? I think we should all be bracing for a hostile technocratic takeover. And we've been warned for quite some time. I think the writing has been on the wall. You know, Addison Wiggin was the guy who he was the writer and producer of IOUSA, Warren Buffett, Pete Peterson, and all these guys stumping for this problem. And it's funny that Addison Wiggin always, you know, likes to say, yeah, the CIA has approached me. And just to be clear, I always say no. Uh-huh. Yeah. You're predicting the crashes, the five crashes that the CIA was instrumental in orchestrating, but you don't work with them. Sure. Whatever. Anyway, stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
By the way, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. I usually try to keep it light on Fridays, but things are serious. So if this network has taught us anything, I think that perhaps, you know, one of the most important things it has taught us is that when corrections happen, you know, when bubbles burst, when shocks happen and those kinds of things, it's never by accident. Those, you know, the collapses, the bank runs, the panics, those kinds of things are always engineered. They have been for quite some time. Doesn't ever happen by accident. And so the makings of one of those things has been, you know, the ingredients have been there and have persisted even after, and every bit as much or more since the dot bomb or the subprime contagion. You know, when Hammer and Hank Paulson stood before Congress and said, if you guys don't give us, you know, if you don't do this, then if you guys don't vote for this, then there will be martial law in the streets. Remember that? The same problem has persisted. It never went away. And we still have the same ill or poor bill of economic health. Manufacturing is gone. You know, people will look back at the Depression era 100 years ago, October 29, 1929, and say, you know, people make comparisons and we want to pretend and kid ourselves that we're not in worse shape, we're not in as bad shape. Actually, it's much worse. And the reasons for that, even though the country was gripped by a technocratic movement at that time, we still had a different mindset. People were more hardworking. They had been raised to understand the value of a hard day's work, an honest day's work. And we still had manufacturing, although, you know, it was the height of the industrial age, some might argue. And there are concerns about that, obviously. Just ask Ted Kaczynski. Well-founded concerns. Nonetheless, we still had a backbone. We still had a work ethic. And we had infrastructure. We don't have those things today. We have no work ethic in America. There is a large push to socialize everyone, to cripple everyone, and get everyone on the public dole. But at whose expense? How does that work? It's, you know, the studies have shown, I mean, TrueStream Media has done some interesting videos that I've mentioned about the experiments, and I always mention the projects. There's a reason they're called the projects. It's a social experiment by the social engineers to see if you can basically cause a generation of folks to commit suicide, essentially, through laziness and apathy and indolence and so forth. I said for a long time, Ecclesiastes 3:22, in my opinion, is the meaning of life, essentially. Nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities, for that is his lot, for who will bring him to see what will occur after him. An honest day's work. And the old adage, idle hands are the devil's playground. That's what happens. And you introduce drugs into a situation like that, get people addicted, and that has a long-term chronic effect, you know, something that people can never escape. And then what happens? Well, society commits suicide. Or certain parts of it do anyway. So anyway, these forces all are conspiring together, and we can see the writing on the wall, the flood of liquidity into the economy. Whether it's, you know, you look at the credit numbers, whether it's people, countries depegging from the dollar, markets depegging or abandoning the dollar, the discontinuance of the M3 back in 2006, 2005, 2006, because the line is straight up in the air, you know? What does that mean? It means we're flooding the market with liquidity. Which means what? We're devaluing all the existing units. It's a recipe. If you keep publishing the M3, then you're probably running the risk for hyperinflation. I don't know why it would be different if you aren't publishing it. But, you know, that's been, I mean, there have been folks that have been arguing for years that we are bumping up against red line and running the risk of hyperinflation. What does that mean? Well, again, going back 100 years, the Weimar Republic, for example, at the height of the hyperinflation, Weimar Republic was suffering. And it's a similar issue. As the story goes, the setup, you know, coming out of World War I was Germany was saddled with untenable war reparations, which would undoubtedly cause the sort of backlash that happened. Well, the inflation that the Weimar Republic suffered was so great, hyperinflation at the height of it, basically wheelbarrows of cash were not enough to buy a loaf of bread. The cost of bread was doubling, what, every couple of hours, few hours? That's what you run into when you run a funny money system. The, what was it, the Zimbabwe note for $1 million, I think is what it was, $1 million note, because you can't print higher units fast enough to mitigate the effects of inflation. When inflation really starts to run away and hyperinflation kicks in, the unit is so worthless because there's no confidence in it anymore that you really can't buy anything with it. It's just going to zero at breakneck speed. And we have the makings of that. We have for quite some time. Credit is one of the biggest issues, and the restriction of physical currency has been – we've been watching it for years. Have you been noticing the cash restrictions? You know, we've heard – we've talked on this network about the stories of, you know, trying to move to a cashless society. We keep seeing these folks talking about all of the introductions of cryptocurrency and stuff. And again, I said it unequivocally, I'll say it again. If I am not a fan of cryptocurrency, it's as bad as central banking is and the funny money system that it proliferates, the so-called fractional reserve that's based on nothing. As bad as that is, crypto to me is infinitely worse for the reasons that I've stated before. And I joke, and I'll joke again, if you ever hear me say this crypto is great or I would do that or, you know, I'm, you know, doing anything in it, then you know aliens have snatched my brain and probably the rest of me. It'll never happen because it's one more step down the cattle chute. My humble estimation. So, you know, that will probably be one of the proposed mechanisms of our alleged salvation that's coming next. Oh, look, you know, cash is collapsing and you can't get it, but here, you know, you can transition to crypto and this is the way to go. And no. So, anyway, we've seen cash restrictions. We've seen lots of voices calling for a cashless society, but we've seen the physical restrictions. What can you withdraw from an ATM? $300? I think in most ATMs. Why is that? Well, by some estimates, speaking of the credit bubble and the cash, you know, if debt is called, if a note is called and there's no money to pay it, what happens? Well, in this case, crisis. And as folks have noted, these kinds of, you know, the economic pressures can lead to war. The economic sanctions, for example, the economic war and the pressures that have been looming, particularly in the Trump administration, are sometimes the pressures that ultimately are the straw that breaks the camel's back and can result in actual physical war. The economic war can result in physical war or create a physical war situation. So if you have notes, if we have all this debt countries are trying to dump and get rid of, you don't have the means to repay those notes if they're called, what happens? And just to sort of put that in perspective, when, you know, there's this idea that there's only about You know, by some estimates, there's only about $250 billion in actual cash floating around this country, $250 billion. When you start to put that in perspective, if 100 million people, for example, if there's a bank run, and it's happened in this country, 100 million people try to run to the ATM. I mean, there were those rumblings back in 2008 when we went through the subprime contagion. There were congressmen calling their wives saying, go to the ATM, take out whatever you can. That's the beginnings of a bank run. So if there's a bank run, everybody runs to the ATM. 100 million people, for example, go to the ATM, take out $300. What is that? It's $30 billion. You know, make it 3,000. Maybe everybody goes to the bank, tries to pull out $3,000. What is that? It's $300 billion, which would be more than some estimates put the total cash in the country. What happens then? So there are concerns. The central banking system creates these kinds of concerns. The credit monopoly system creates these kinds of issues and concerns. And along with that, you know, again, you have the technocratic model, the sinister model for takeover, and its handmaiden to me is central banking. Because, again, your wages have a diminished purchasing power year over year. The taxes that we raise, diminished purchasing power. They buy fewer goods and services, fewer public works year over year. So what do? And that's why becoming a smart city sounds so attractive. This system will conserve resources. Ah, that's the technocrats' vision. We're going to manage resources. And it'll save money because, you know, the system will be automated. It'll be controlled centrally. Don't have to have as many folks. Oh, it sounds so great, doesn't it? Except central control has always been a problem, and the technology is harmful to people. Who would want such a thing when you really look at it? And I think because of the cognitive dissonance and because of the discomfort that we experience and because we're bumping up against the reality of these problems that we face, people are very uncomfortable and even unwilling to acknowledge the reality of the problematic nature of the proposed so-called solutions. I don't think people would really want centralized control completely out of their own hands, out of the hands of their own community, for Pete's sake. The evidence of that is, for example, in Spokane, Washington's case, why is Mayor David Condon holding press conferences, major press conferences, on rooftops? That seems odd to me. You don't want to have crowds on demand there applauding your efforts? Yay, this is fantastic. They don't even want crowds on demand there, so to speak. You know, the bought and paid for flash mob. Your home for protests, rallies, advocacy, audiences, PR stunts, and political events. Everything is a PR stunt these days. And what is PR? Public relations, right? That's what Edward Bernays told us. Everything is a PR stunt, essentially. In the Bernaysian and post-Bernaysian era, everything is a PR stunt. Again, Vance Packard, quoting Edward Bernays, nothing happens by accident, right? Mr. Bernays said newsworthy events involving people usually do not happen by accident. They are planned deliberately to accomplish a purpose, to influence ideas and actions. As folks have been noting on the National Intel Report in particular, it's a funny coincidence that this migrant train, the issue of, you know, the great Honduran migration, for example, just happens to coincide with the midterm election cycle and, you know, election day. Gosh, what a coincidence. The alleged packages, same thing, you know, Caesar PSYOP. And the alleged explosive devices that, you know, news crews are pulling out of packages and photographing next to the package. Look, this thing they sent us, it was, don't laugh, it's not a hoax. It's not a hoax device. Really? Yeah, and you're not concerned that it might explode while you're photographing it? It's a little odd. Everything's a PR stunt these days. Anyway, Spokane's Mayor David Condon held a press release about the latest technocratic push to make Spokane a smart city on a rooftop. And that's not odd. So, centralized control, authoritarian edicts, basically, that correspond to that. That's technocracy, and I can't imagine folks would want that. The uncomfortable reality that purchasing power is diminished, we don't have the infrastructure to recover from shocks and panics and crises that we used to. We don't have manufacturing. We don't have industry. We don't even have the backbone. We don't have the work ethic that was bred out of us over the last 100 years. So what do? This is the uncomfortable reality. And we're supposed to just, you know, pass quietly into this good night. You keep hearing, you know, the expression, you know, we won't go quietly into this good night. And why are we hearing that? Why are we seeing certain things? Why are we encouraged to believe that, you know, being less than or, you know, being crippled in some way is perfectly fine. Taking a dirt nap is perfectly fine. Well, you know, speaking of that, if you watch Aaron and Melissa Dyke's latest video, I mentioned it yesterday, Secret History of the Order of the Illuminati, where Aaron is reading from about a handful of books, essentially, you'll see that one of the, I mean, I've mentioned it before, the one of the central tenets of these old school bad guy overlords is, you know, that dying for the cause, for the greater good, is something that they believe. And that's an idea that is projected onto the general public. And now people are buying into it, essentially. So, you know, the point, backing up a little bit, is when you look at, again, going back to Dana Ashley's video, information you cannot afford to miss, billions spent to ensure you do. The technology is clearly harmful, but what are communities going to do? Because, you know, we have to tighten our belt. Because purchasing power is diminished. Why? If we have a problem, what are we going to do? Raise taxes? How about we just get rid of the central banking system that's causing the inflation, that's eroding purchasing power? What about that? Why not do that? You know, we keep falling forward. And so you can – what are the options? Oh, we can't get rid of the central bank. You can – go borrow from or take FEMA cash. You know, you can try to monkey around with funds that you're not supposed to monkey around with. Lots of local communities have gotten in trouble for that, basically gambling with the public coffers. You could do that or not. You can take FEMA cash, which is like a, you know, this gets back to the junkie society concept. Taking FEMA cash is like the dealer who, you know, the street level dealer who becomes a junkie. Hey man, don't, you know, consume your own product. Yeah, I just need a hit. I just need a fix. Just give us a little bit of FEMA cash. We just need a little bit to get us by. purchasing power is diminished. Next year, you're going to need a bigger hit, a bigger fix. What are you going to do? And pretty soon your dealer is saying, I got to cut you off, man. What would happen if I did the same thing to all my other dealers? That's what we're dealing with in America. This junkie society and economic context in particular. So now you have the introduction of smart cities, technology. Oh my goodness, not only is this going to save us money, but we're actually going to get paid from these corporations that have basically imposed the smart city project on us. They decided themselves. But never fear. Not only is it going to reduce your overhead, we'll actually give you money to do this because we already bought off Congress to pass legislation and include appropriations that pay us back, you know, a windfall by orders of magnitude what we invested, what we paid congressmen off to pass legislation so that we could get paid in the appropriations. Don't worry, we'll sprinkle some crumbs on you guys too. Wow, so not only does the city reduce their overhead, but they actually get a little bit of, you know, corporate cash thrown their way, some breadcrumbs sprinkled on them. How fantastic. Of course, Spokane's going to be a smart city. Itron manufacturing is in the Spokane Valley. Itron smart meters and every other awful thing that Itron makes. So that's how it works in simple terms. But the technology is harmful to you and I. Who is it not harmful to? Well, it's not harmful to robots. And we can see the push to make everything smart except for people. What does this mean? What does this portend? In a society that is dominated by these technocratic agencies, as Peter Thiel put it. What does it portend for you and I? Maybe all that glitters isn't gold. Just maybe. Stick around. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back after this short break.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.